What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your friendly neighborhood, Mr. Reese, also known as Reese the Poet. And I want to welcome you to another episode of The Reset, where I believe in perspective, purpose, and people. Value equals vision, and breathing don't count as living. It's more than motivation, it's change. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you all are doing well. I have a lot of things to cover, a lot of thoughts that I want to share with you guys today. Really kind of got a heavy one for you. But before we get into that, maybe you have a story. Maybe you want to get your podcast out. Maybe you want to get your message out. Well, I highly recommend, if you're looking for a host, I highly recommend Captivate. Captivate is my platform that I'm with. And I recommend that if you are looking for a place to get your story, get your message to the world, then you click that little button below on the bottom of the player that says Captivate. You click it and they will take good care of you. Good people, good service, and good times. You know what I'm saying? And also, of course, there's a donate button. If you believe or you appreciate what we do, please, 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 I ask you, if it's in your heart, please go ahead to that donate button. Help us make some, bring some projects to life. We got a few things coming down the pipe, and so we really appreciate your support. All right, so I want to go ahead and I want to speed through that because I really wanted to make sure that I take the time to really get my point across. So I want to talk about a topic today that is it is a very difficult topic to talk about because it's so hard to grasp. Because many people, we talk about it and we say it. I mean, people mention it, but it's never really delved into. And I believe it is more timely and more needed than any other time in our nation, in our world. And this is real. And I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people may not enjoy what I say. And before I get started, I want to let you know, no, I'm not going to get into a political thing. I'm not here to talk. I'm really not even here to talk about the case. I'm not here to talk about the race riots per se. I'm not here to do that. I want to really talk to you specifically. Remember, my goal is always perspective, purpose, and people. So right now, my purpose is to give you a perspective so that we might become better people. You know what I'm saying? So I want to go ahead and jump right into this thing. There is a wise man that I think we know very well, Dr. Martin Luther King. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate, only love can do that. You know, we've also heard the quote, love conquers all. You know, I remember I think about Tupac, unconditional love. Unconditional love. It's often attributed to, you know, mothers and their children or fathers and their daughters. But do we really understand the concept of unconditional love? To truly love without condition. You know, we see it in the movies. You know, we see it where the person can go to the ends of the earth and, oh my gosh, I just love this person so much. I'll do anything and go anywhere, you know. Or you remember the old song that, I will cross the ocean for you. You know, we look at it that way. We look at it as romantic and it's deep and it's long lasting till death do us part, and it becomes so, it's fantasized. That even when we're 80, I just love you. See, the reality is that unconditional love is far more of a weight than wings. I mean, we look at unconditional love as like, it's wings, you know. It's, oh, I just love this person unconditionally. And, oh, I just love you. And you're my friend. And we just fly. And this love lifts you and lifts you on the air and the breezes of destiny. And but what if we actually looked at unconditional love as the true weight that it is? You know, when I think about love, obviously the first thing that comes to my mind is my faith. Now, mind you, everybody has their own beliefs, and I'm not here to preach to anyone. But one thing that I will say is that love is a continuous theme in the Bible, specifically surrounding Jesus. So, what I thought was very interesting is that Jesus spent his entire life. You know, everybody, like I said, everybody has their different beliefs and things. But when you look at just the story of Jesus, Jesus spent his entire life giving and pouring out to all of those people. giving them life and giving them truth and giving them love and all of these things. Only for that same group to people, only for that same group of people to turn around and betray him, beat him, whip him and tear his body and destroy him and put him up as an innocent man to one of the worst, if not the worst, deaths in history, a crucifixion. But in that story, what stands out the most to me, well, one of the things that stands out the most is that those same people, that even in the face of his betrayers, even in the face of these broken, destroyed, in the face of these broken-minded people who destroyed him, the words that he utters on the cross is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It talks about, "For though we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And that's wild when you think about it. It reminds me of a story. Reminds me of a story that I remember hearing years ago. I tried to do some research and find the identities and all of these things, but unfortunately, it's one of those stories that's been passed down and I can't seem to find who it was. But what I do remember, what I do recall is that the story was of a pastor who he was a victim or a survivor of Auschwitz. He spent 2 years in Auschwitz, and then he spent some time in another concentration camp. And during that time as a young man, he watched as his family members were one by one and group by group gassed and beaten and thrown into ditches and tortured and just completely and utterly destroyed, mutilated and violated, and the atrocities that he saw, specifically at the hand of a particular general or a lieutenant or something, I don't remember his rank, but specifically at the hand of this particular man who seemed to follow him. When he was at Auschwitz, he was there, and then he went to another camp, and that man ended up getting transferred there. It was as if he followed him and stalked him, but never got to him. But he watched, and he observed, and he had those images burned in his mind of each one of his family members being burned, being brutalized, being treated and killed, being treated like animals and killed in a slaughter. And those images never left his head. By the grace of God, he was able to survive, and he went on to become a pastor. Interesting enough, he became a pastor. He began to preach, and he's fulfilling his ministry and doing all of those things. And during a revival some years later, I don't remember exactly, but I feel like it was something like 15 years later, he was at a revival and he was preaching, and, you know, things are going well and all of that. I mean, it's you know, I'm sure it was live and exciting. But at the height of this particular sermon he was preaching, he looks over at one of the rows and happens to catch eyes with a man on the side. I believe he's in the front row all the way to the edge. And he said that everything stopped. And I can imagine the faces of people in the crowd. There's hundreds of thousands of, you know, hundreds or thousands of people who are, you know, are engaged, and all of a sudden everything disconnects, and I can just imagine the weight that fell in the building. He locked eyes with this man. No one in the audience knows who he is or anything about him, doesn't understand. They probably thought it was going to be some type of spiritual interaction, but he walks over to the man, he looks him in his face, and he asked him, "Do you remember me?" The man looks at him and he says, "I have no idea. I don't, what do you mean? Do I remember you?" He had no idea. He was nothing in his mind. And just like that, he talks about how all of the visions and all of the bodies and all of the family members and friends and everything that he was submitted to all flashed before his eyes at once. And it was in that moment looked him in his eyes and he said, "Everything in me, everything in me says I should hate you. And I'm gonna be honest, everything in me wants to kill you where you stand. But this Bible I follow, and this word, and the Lord that I serve compels me to love you. And so I choose to love you." And he said, in that moment, that same evil, horrible, broken man broke. Tears began to fall down his face, and he just fell down and just burst in tears. And he began to go and preach the gospel to him, and he ended up getting him saved. And he said he can't say that they became friends, but what he will say is that at that moment, he truly understood unconditional love. That's the love of that's the same love of a mother that knows that her son has done awful things, but will still cry by his side. It's the love of a father that will do anything for his daughter, no matter how far gone she may be. Unconditional love. It's hard to be subjected to such pain, to be subjected to such malice, to be subjected to such evil and darkness, but to be able to choose the light. This is where we are in our country. This is where we are in our nation. We are being overwhelmed by darkness, and that's why my call to action to you is to choose light. Choose love. I was writing down something the other day about light, and I was thinking about it. You realize that light is interesting because light is neutral. Light shines simply because it is light. Light does not pick or choose who or what it shines on. The only reason that light will not shine is if it's blocked or inhibited by something else, a third party. Imagine that you are that light, but do we allow our anger, our rage, our hatred to block that light? If light is directed and used, light can be used to light away a path, warm a soul, but can also be focused and used to burn. It's interesting. Imagine a world if we chose love, unconditional love. I want to read something to you. I was writing some notes down and it's here. It's unconditional love is a difficult concept to grasp. It is the purest and most perfected form of love. We as human beings are imperfect, and thus it is a challenge. See, unconditional love is a practiced choice built on a foundation of decision and righteousness. It exists beyond the shallow ponds of infatuation and liking and far transcends the deep wells of emotion. It is love in its perfected form. There is no offense great enough to break it. There is no knife or word sharp enough to sever it. There is no weight heavy enough to crush it. There is no limitation, no floor to its limits, and no measurement to its width. It is not a feeling. It is truly a choice. And it must be more than an act done from a place of obligation or duty. See, perfect love cannot truly be accomplished from the natural effort of imperfect humans. It has to come from a spiritual place. From there, the body and soul are forced into submission. So this is what makes this love our challenge. You see, unconditional love says to love without bias, partiality, emotional influence, tribe, and or affiliation. And then in its truest form, it loves through offense and even extends to one's enemies. See, this is a great mystery in our world. We have been conditioned to live conditional. Everything we do is for our gain, benefit, preservation, or self-service. It is for our comfort and convenience. It is for our pleasure and pursuits. We are taught that anything or anyone that does not service us is undeserving and must conform or be removed. See, conditional love says, because of who you are, what you have done, where you come from, or who or what you are connected to, I will or will not love you. That in itself is not love. But unconditional love says, I choose to love, even when everything in me wants to hate, even when it hurts, even when it's inconvenient, even when all I feel is rage, even when you're wrong, and even when you don't love me back. I choose to love. You know, to many this will sound foolish, it'll sound weak, but in fact, it's probably the most rational and most powerful thing that we can choose. What we don't understand is that love is the supreme virtue. You know, love is the only virtue that, when present, it trumps all other feelings, factions, and our focuses. Think about that. I mean, you have many emotions, you have anger, rage, you have all these things, but love truly conquers all. Think about it. When you love someone, when you choose to love someone, it's like, ooh, I'm so angry with you. I mean, think about it. In a relationship, when you get in an argument and you all are just completely outraged, but yet, for whatever reason, you just, ooh, I want to leave you, but I can't help but love you. Imagine if we applied that same concept to our world. What if we applied that same love to everyone around us? And this is both sides. Those who, because the reality is our world is not, the world is full of hate because we lack love. Think about that concept. The heart of men, the corruption in the hearts of men, there is an emptiness. There was an emptiness in men. Men and women, but there is an emptiness in society. And thus, unfortunately, that emptiness, that void, that insecurity, that brokenness has been filled with hatred, has been filled with rage, has been filled with racism, has been filled with bigotry, has been filled with all of these things. Or better yet, that corrupted heart is a vast gaping hole, and out of that hole have flown the darknesses that we see in the world. There is only one thing that can fill that hole, and that is true, unconditional, unrelenting love. And love is not always easy. Love is not always rainbows and butterflies, but sometimes love can be tough. Love can be giving truth. But doing it in a manner to where I still don't hate you. I don't agree with you, but I don't hate you. The moment that we succumb to hate, we lose our humanity. I mean, that's reality. When we allow our emotions to drive us, when we allow, and this is not simply just about the situations going on in the world. This is our daily lives. If we allow what we feel to take over and control us, and we push love to the side, unfortunately, when you push love to the side, you remove it from the seat that it was sitting in to protect your heart. You move it off of its post to protect your soul. And when you move it out of the way, it opens the door for anything and everything to come out. Any and every darkness to rise. The only way to combat darkness is with light, and that's the reality. Unconditional love. You know, love is the only virtue that can turn villains to heroes, heroes to saints. You know, love can tame lions. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love can transfer. Love can transform monsters into men. Hey, Beauty and the Beast, right? I believe that love is a language of legends. Our ability to love, one could argue, is a large part of what makes us human. It is the greatest gift that we have been afforded. Once we lose or give up our ability to love, honestly, I believe we give up our humanity. We become no better than animals. So I leave you with this. I had a dream of sorts. I imagine a world where men's hearts have depth and words have meaning. The only tears we cry are those of compassion and joy, and those tears run like the rivers of life that flow abundantly through the souls of every being. Where the only face not graced with a smile is the one that is lost in thought at the wonder of existence, where color is seen as painting on a canvas, unique and beautiful to each person. Where the only songs we sing are that of love, celebration, and peace. Imagine looking into the eyes of the one that you love, spirits in perfect harmony on a perfect day, finding perfect intimacy in a single perfect gaze. I imagine a world where truth is all there is. Peace is the natural position of the heart and soul, and purpose is the only setting of the mind. What a world this would be. And then I woke up and I realized it starts with me. See, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we are the key. And the answer is love. It truly conquers all. So in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of this overwhelming hatred, in the midst of all of the evil and pain and rage, in the midst of all of the division and the hurt, in the midst of it all, I choose love. Yeah. I challenge you to do the same. I'll see you next time.